All right, we are going to dismiss those of us who are young. There's nursery, there's children's church, and for those of you who are not so young but still a little young, make sure you go grab a bulletin, kids bulletin from out in the hallway, grab some pencil crayons, and buckle in. We're going to have a little sermon. But I need my trusty preaching stool if we're going to do any good preaching today. We are going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're going to pause the sermon series in Ephesians. But do not be afraid, Ephesians will come back. It will come back quickly. But today is Thanksgiving. Today we're going to talk about being thankful. We're going to talk about why we need to be, why it's hard, and what are we thankful for. Sometimes we need to stop and talk a little bit about what we're thankful for and why we're thankful. Sometimes it's easy to list off things that we're thankful for, but why are we thankful? Why is it so important? We're going to talk about what happens to people when we stop being thankful and how it so naturally creeps into all of us, how it creeps into me, and I'm not thankful. And we're going to talk about why. Today, I'm going to need a couple microphones. Because there's a surprise for you this morning. And the surprise is that you're going to help me preach the sermon. And again, you had no idea, did you? Two cordless mics. Grab this one too. And set them up here on the front pew. And today, as we go through thankfulness, I want to give you a chance to be part of it with us. I want to give you a chance to share about thankfulness. And because at Thanksgiving, what do we all do? We get together with our family, right? We all get together. And as a family, some families, you have to stop and say what you're thankful for. Some grandmas and grandpas did that, some didn't. Some we got off easy and lucky, and it was just mashed potatoes right away. But the other grandpa and grandma would say, all right, what is one thing everyone is thankful for? And he would talk about thankfulness. And today, as we go through why we're thankful, there's going to be opportunities for you to join in. And I hope that you will. And I hope this morning we can learn from each other as we learn from the scripture. So, question number one, as it goes up on the screen, I'm going to need my two mic-carrying volunteers, please, to come forward. And I want to ask you this. What makes Thanksgiving special? And this is to you. What makes Thanksgiving special? Special. Exactly. None of us know. And yet you're celebrating it. What makes it special? It's not a trick question. What for you makes Thanksgiving special? There's lots of different answers. There's lots of different families in this room. What for you makes it special? I want to hear from you. I want to know why it's special for you, because that changes the way that we learn about it and talk about Thanksgiving. So what makes it special?
I can always talk.
Thank you.
When our children were little, we lived in Esterhazy and hauled potash. And the potash went to the U.S. And they always got Thanksgiving on this weird Thursday sometime in November. So that was one day when the potash trucks didn't run. And so we could take the kids out of school and we'd go to Yorkton and Christmas shop. So this was a special day, and the children still remember me writing the creative note to the teacher. But I'm taking my children shopping, and that's that kind of thing. Yeah, that was our one day we could go. And even though that is not a tradition, my children remember it a lot because the Americans also had Thanksgiving. That was neat. Now that we're older, and this is the first Thanksgiving that all four of us are in the same city because Kendra moved back. Yay! I had a bit of a whine from my children because we always go to Canmore for holidays. And they said, you know how many years it is since we had a real Thanksgiving, Mom? So the turkey is thawing. And tomorrow we will pause and we will be thankful for our heritage. With the love of God in our whole family, we'll be thankful for our country because even though most of the country doesn't, in our mind, have the right focus on Thanksgiving, that doesn't matter. They're stopping. And in our hearts, we will be very thankful for our Heavenly Father and His part in our lives. So thank you, Lord.
Another person. What makes Thanksgiving special?
On most good years, by Thanksgiving, the harvest is finished. Not quite so much this year. But for me, Thanksgiving means that most of the work is done. We work really hard all summer long, and Darren spent a day on the bee field with us this summer, so he's a little bit of a understanding of what that all involves. And this last week we were out there shoveling snow off the hives and covering them, and but it's done. And so Thanksgiving means the hard work is done and we have enough food to eat for the winter.
The next question. Would you share a memory? What is a Thanksgiving memory that you have? I know some of us are young. We have a few memories. Some of us have lots of memories. Anything stand out for you about Thanksgiving?
My memory goes back to our little country church of McMahon when we had Thanksgiving there. We'd have a special speaker in the morning and a lovely dinner and then some more missionaries in the afternoon and then a coffee after. It meant preparing pretty well all day Saturday because we had very few families there going that belonged to the church. So you brought a potato salad, a fruit salad, some pies and some squares for the afternoon, and we had one lady, Mrs. Alford. She baked all the buns for the whole deal. That was a lovely Thanksgiving.
My first memory of Thanksgiving was in Flowing Well Church Thanksgiving, where you had emphasis on missionary support and promotion. That was grandfather and grandmother's church. And, you know, the meal was great, and being a teenager or even younger, every forkful of food tasted so good. And so that was a good memory. And, you know, the church is gone now, but I'm sure lots of people have memories of that yet.
I just remembered a story about my dad. My dad, when he was younger, he grew up and went to school in hostels because his dad was part of the army. And in the hostels, they used to serve a ridiculous amount of pumpkin. And pumpkin was put into everything. So it was put into the meat curries, the chicken curries, into the lentils. My dad was ridiculously sick of pumpkin. He moves to Canada, and he tries his first pumpkin pie at Thanksgiving, and he was appalled. Like, why would anyone take something so disgusting and make it a dessert? Now, since he's been in Canada more than he was in India, he absolutely loves pumpkin pie.
Erwin and I are very thankful this morning to be back after a really long, long trip over the last month, all the way to the southern states with my family. And they are concentrating already on Thanksgiving, but their Thanksgiving isn't happening until November. And as Erwin and I are driving along on the roads there in northern Montana yesterday, all of a sudden our minds went back to the 1980s. And the last time we had traveled on that road was a Thanksgiving weekend, Canadian Thanksgiving weekend. And we got so stuck in a blizzard. Like, I mean, it was super stuck. We wound up sleeping in the apartment of a young police officer that rented out the apartment, but it had just been, the renters had just moved and it was totally clean, and we slept with our four little kids on the floor with blankets that the people supplied and coffee and donuts in the morning they gave. And the entire town, this little town in northern Montana, had opened their homes to all the people that were stuck that night, Thanksgiving weekend. Although it was in the States, it was a Canadian Thanksgiving weekend.
I just remember Thanksgiving as being a very special time in the life of our church. We always had a guest speaker or our own pastor, and we always had special choir music, and we were in that part of it, and we just enjoyed it very much. And then the meal was always so nice to do something together. And our children, when they were younger, they always said, I want to carry one bowl full into the church, and I want to carry a pie or something. I want to take something there. So we had to make sure we had enough bowls ready so they could each carry something. And it was just an awesome day. Thank you.
Thirty-four years ago on Thanksgiving Sunday, I came home from the hospital with our much-prayed-for baby daughter who was, although a month premature, was very healthy, and so it's a special memory.
Every Thanksgiving memory, you notice each one is very special, and yet each one is very different. And different things have stood out to us. Thank you for sharing these memories. It's a privilege to be a part of a family, and it's a privilege to hear from other people. The next question is why? Why is it important? And it might seem like a simple question, like I'm expecting a simple answer. But I think it's more than a simple question. Why is it so important that we remain thankful? Does anyone have an answer to that?
Sir, but it's important for me to be thankful just to remind myself that everything I have and everything I am is not from me. And so that's what it is for me. It's a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
think it's important to be thankful to God, for he is the one that gave us his only begotten Son. He gave us everything that we could have this freedom in through Christ. And I think I'm very thankful for that.
I think it's important that we be thankful, because as we look at life and we realize, and the older we become, and I'm becoming one of those older ones, you realize that the brevity of life, and it's like Arlene said, we come into this world naked and we will leave naked. And we need to be thankful to our God who has chosen to give us a few years here on earth to serve him, to edify him, and to glorify him.
As we go to the next slide, I'm going to need you to open up your Bibles. Because this Thanksgiving Sunday, we're going to turn back to a time long before our time. And to our guys holding the microphones, we're going to have a couple more questions right after we talk about Deuteronomy. So just wait a minute. Deuteronomy to chapter 6 and to chapter 8. This was such a pivotal time in the nation's history. And why? Because they were just on the edge of something incredible. They were on the edge of the promised land. If you, if you're a Deuteronomy expert, you don't need this information. But if you're not, here's a little bit to help you gain your context. They just traveled for their 40 years, and now we're on the edge of the promised land. They're in the east side of the Jordan River, and Moses is speaking to them for the very last time. The whole nation gathers around, and Moses begins to recount their history, recount the adventure that they went on through the wilderness, and what they should have learned and what they have learned. He goes over the Ten Commandments, and he goes over some of the laws of Leviticus. He goes over their failures, and he leaves them with blessings and curses and warns them. They need to be aware of what is about to happen as they go into the promised land. And when I think of being thankful, my mind goes back to chapter 6 and to chapter 8. So first, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy. Let's read these couple verses, and let's discuss what exactly he was saying to them in Deuteronomy. Chapter 6, I'm going to read verses 10, 11, and 12. Moses said, "When the Lord your God brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses with all kinds of good things you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery." Moses' warning to them as they were about to go into the promised land to receive every blessing that God had promised, his warning was not to forget God, which might seem really out of place, because God had been with them physically in the form of fire, in the form of a pillar of cloud, in the form of this manna coming down. That was God revealing himself powerfully every single day. And yet what Moses says is, when you go into that promised land, when you receive your final salvation, your rest and your home into your paradise, don't forget him, because you will. Don't forget him. And people must have thought that was an odd comment. You know, Moses, God has been with us for 40 years every day. It's not like tomorrow morning I'm going to forget he was there. But he says, you're going to go there. You're going to receive all this stuff you did nothing for. and you are going to forget who gave you everything. Naked you came in, and naked you're going to leave. That was well put. Every single thing we receive is a gift from the Lord, and the people were about to forget that. Chapter 8 of Deuteronomy, verses 6 through 18. And we can go to the next slide. And I have a couple key verses that you might want to pay attention to as we go through this. Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting at the 6th verse, Moses said this. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him, revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams, deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines, fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron and you can dig copper out of the hills. You might notice the connection to Revelation and to heaven. A land where you'll lack nothing. Where these elements will be right in the rocks, right in the hill. And in heaven it talks about how you'll lack nothing. And the walls are just made of these gems and jewels. There's connections and you're beginning to see them. Verse 10, when you've eaten and when you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, his decrees that I am giving you this day. Verse 12. Otherwise, when you eat and when you are satisfied, you will build fine houses and settle down. And when your herds and your flocks grow large and your silver and gold increase and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud. If you're the kind of person that underlines in your Bible, there's your verse. Then your heart will become proud. You will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You see, he led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty, waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and to test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power, the strength of my hands has produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. And so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. Why is it so important to be thankful? I think this zooms in right on that answer. Because when we are not thankful, we become prideful. And maybe not you. You might not struggle with pride. I do. And when I'm not thankful, I start taking everything for granted. I start thinking, I did this. I don't need to say thank you. I built this. I achieved this. I earned this. This is mine. And we tighten our grasp on the things of this world. We do. Whether it's our family, whether it's possessions, whether it's our attitude and our heart. It can be so many different things. This is mine. I did this. No, you didn't. God has given you the ability to have everything, and he has given you everything. And when our focus hits this target, you become so much more thankful. Because my goal this morning is not to belittle you and bring you down. I'm not trying to make you ashamed for what you have. I want you to hop into a vehicle and say, thank you, God. This is not mine. This is yours. Thank you for giving this to me. And you drive back to a house. How How much of the earth, how many people on this planet do not have a home and you're going to drive back to one that you complain about all the time? And you're going to go, thank you, God, that this is warm. And you're going to sit down and you're going to eat a lavish, expensive meal that most of the world couldn't afford. Most of the world making a dollar or two a day. And you're going to eat like a king. And I don't want you to feel guilty about it. I want you to say, thank you. Thank you, God, that everything I have is from you. And even the ability to earn the wealth that I have, that you have given me, is from you. Thank you. Because some of us forget to say thank you, and pride grips our hearts. I built this house. I bought this house. This vehicle is mine. This is my family and my dinner. No one's going to get in the way of that. This is tradition. This is the way it's always been. This is the way it always has to be. And you begin to tighten your grip on these things. My mother had this tradition at Thanksgiving. And this tradition was bringing home people. She would always do this. And as a young person, it really didn't make sense. She would cook too much food intentionally. And she would set chairs and plates at the table for people that weren't in our family. And then home from church, mom would bring someone. She went to these services looking for people in the church that needed to be invited home. And you could say, well, that throws off our tradition. That throws off, this is about our family. This is a special day for us. My mom would say, no. No, this is God's day. And today, God wants me to do this. And as a young person, I thought, that's such an odd concept. Why would you do that? And no, not all of you need to go invite someone from church home for your lunch. But maybe some of you do. And this nation should have been so thankful. And if you read the book of Joshua, which if you came to church this summer, you heard lots of Joshua. The people were given cities. The people were given a nation. They would walk up to a city and blow their trumpets and walls came down. They did nothing. It says they would attack a town, and as they attacked a town, hailstones would come down from God. And the hail defeated more people than they did with swords. It says the one day they needed the sun to stop in the sky because they weren't able to finish the battle. And God stopped the sun. God defeated the whole promised land. It wasn't them. And yet it says in the book of Judges chapter 2 that the very next generation, after Joshua had passed away, and after all of the people who were Joshua's age had passed away, they forgot God. And they forgot what he had did. They were living in a land where everything was a gift. And they forgot who gave it to them. So I hope that as we discuss Thanksgiving, you're realizing how much everything is a gift. The ability to be here is a gift. The fact that God created you and gave you a few years to be on his earth, that's a gift to you. He thought, do you know what? I'll let that person have a few years. Let's see what they can do. And he gave you the opportunity to be alive. He gave you the opportunity to sing, to read the Bible. The next question that's going to come up on the PowerPoint is, what are you thankful for? This question is very broad. And that's okay. And as the guys with the mics are watching, I want to make sure that we as a family do not fall into this trap. I do not want us as a family, for this moment, I'm going to speak like Moses and say, do not, as a family, do not forget what God has given you. Remember that it is all from him. Because if you forget that, pride will grip your heart. And when pride grips your heart, you will never be thankful. Because you don't need to be thankful. You did it. So let's share a couple more stories. I hope you're okay with that. So this Thanksgiving, what are you thankful for?
I think we all have very much to be thankful for. And I am thankful for the country that we live in. My parents came out of Russia out of the revolution and suffered over there for many years and came to Canada. And I was born in Canada. I have not lived through that, but we have heard stories of it and how grateful we are to have a country where we can live in peace and quietness, and that God has given us so many things. It is just unbelievable that we are living here, and when you look at the news, you watch the news, and you see the troubles that they have, and you can always go, just go to North Carolina, you go to Florida, you saw the devastation in Haiti. Those people have not got what we have, and yet so often we are so unthankful for what we have got here. And most of this we did not do ourselves. Our parents brought us here. They raised us here. Sure, they taught us how to work, and I'm glad for that, and I've been able to work. I'm thankful for my family that I have had, that God has taken care of it. And another thing that I'm thankful for is that I have my health again this year. Last year at this time, I was not in this position. And God has given me a new outlook on life, and to just be thankful for what we have received, and we have not done anything for it. It is just so grateful, so thankful for those things. And I'm just hope that we will all be thankful for that. We are going to, our children aren't home this weekend, but we're starting with the grandchildren now. We're going to have our grandchildren in, our great-grandchildren in, having Thanksgiving with them instead of with the children.
I am so thankful to, as Dave said, we have been in Canada where it's just so wonderful. I'm so thankful for our family, especially all these years, and God has given me many years, and especially what I think we need to be thankful for when we hear the news on TV where people are starving, people are being killed, everything is getting demolished and devastated. It's just, we have so much to be thankful for, to live in this land of ours and to have wonderful friendships and fellowship with people all the time. It's just such a blessing, and I just thank God for my family too, and for this whole church family, which is such a blessing to me. I am so proud of our young people that are living for the Lord.
I'm really thankful for good health and for a great job, and I'm also thankful for my church family here.
Mm-hmm. I'm thankful for a couple of things, too. One of them is for the people that work at the Manor in Herbert. They look after my dad every day. They bathe him and help him get dressed. They wash his clothes, and they make three meals a day, and they encourage him every single day. So we are profoundly grateful for them. I'm also grateful for the freedom that we have here in Canada. I talked to Sandy Funk on the phone this last week. She and her family are living in Ethiopia, and they are under compound arrest right now. There's incredible violence happening in Ethiopia. You don't hear too much of it on the news, but many, many people have died, and they have their bags ready at the door, their wallets, passport, toothbrush, and a jacket, and have to be ready to leave at any moment. They are not allowed to be out of their house, and I've never experienced that. And so grateful every night when we go to sleep that I'm not worried someone is going to attack our place.
Makes me think of the insert in your bulletin. You may have noticed it's a request for prayer for the refugee family. Do you notice it talked about their grandmother, the family that came from a place where they were terrified, they were scared to live and had to leave their home to save their lives, and now they've come to Swift Current, and the grandmother is sick in the hospital, and she might not be able to recover from this, and the family might have to say goodbye to someone in their own family. They've only been here for a few months. We have so much to be thankful for. Hopefully next week we'll have Mabel come up and do an announcement. We'll talk about the refugee family. We'll remind all of you what's going on with them, how we can pray for them. What are you thankful for? The last question this morning is, who is someone you want to say thank you to? And with this question, we'll close our time of the sermon. Who is someone you want to say thank you to? And this person does not need to be in this room. This person might live really far away. This person might have already passed away. But if you had a chance right now to say thank you to someone, who is someone that you would want to say thank you to?
How interesting that God puts me to my feet even when I didn't want to. So I just want to say thank you to Darren. He has led us in the absence of the senior pastor, and I'm so thankful for you, Darren. You do it with grace and with dignity, and you're a wonderful, godly man.
Last chance. If there's someone that you would like to say thank you to, no, that's not thunder and lightning. That's most likely the furnace up there. You're all trying to peek out the windows. Where's the lightning? Often we are thankful, but we neglect to say thank you to someone. We neglect to say I love you to our parents. We neglect to say thank you to our kids. We think it, but we don't say it. And as a family today, I urge you to say it. Whether it's on the drive home, whether it's at home, whether you need to make a phone call, whether you need to get out your phone and send a text message or an email to someone, say thank you to them. Even if they know that you're thankful for them, say thank you to them. It means so much to